You're listening to the Known Legacy Podcast, brought to you by Known Legacy Ministries. For more information, go to knownlegacy.org. Now here's your hosts, Bill and Travis.
Good morning, afternoon, good evening. For the Insomniacs, good late night. It's good to have you guys
here. That guy
here.
At 2 o'clock in the morning that just made those chips and cheese, this is for you.
The trailer trash nachos, they're so good.
Oh, they're so good.
All right, are you a microwave guy or are you a broiler guy?
So I don't use the broiler, but if I could, what? I would use it. We just don't.
Kyle?
Microwave.
See, I use a microwave because it's going to be... Now, when it's popcorn...
Well, that is true trailer trash.
When it's popcorn, I don't do a microwave popcorn. I just do like the air pop. Because I feel like...
Wait, you empty it out of the microwave bag?
No, like, you know, you have another container, like, unpopped.
What are we talking about here?
Is that the foil?
No, hey, welcome, everyone, to Known Legacy.
Not Jiffy Pop, like, actual an air popper that you put the corn in. What is wrong with you guys? Like, you guys are both older than me. Like, I know you know this.
Jiffy Pop, I know. Man, that was a good Friday night when Whenever you busted out the Jiffy Pop.
Remember the... was it Redenbacher? Yes. That's what I feel like every time that I pop original. And I'm like, I'm going to go churn my own butter. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's amazing.
You don't have to now. That microwave, so my wife, every time we watch
You don't
movie,
have to churn your own butter? What?
Wait a minute.
She does it.
Where's this technology coming from?
She does a bag of popcorn. But I open it up for her and it's like dripping butter out of it.
Oh, wow.
The theater butter.
Ooh. Yeah. I just, something about air pop popcorn. It's so good. Hey, welcome to the podcast, guys. Sorry we started. We literally started out of turn. So we're glad you guys are here.
It's been a while. We'll explain to you why it's been a while in a little bit.
Yeah,
but
we will.
We have a lot of fun stuff coming up. First and foremost, check us out on Rumble, Known Legacy. We're posting everything up on Rumble now.
Yes.
You can info@knownlegacy.org if you have any questions. You can also follow us on Facebook. There's opportunity on Instagram. And always go to our website because we always have new things there.
Yes.
From an Advent resource. And
yep, you can still
Advent,
do it. Yeah, you can still got some time.
Some amazing little things that Bill and his wife, Sarah, put together. Phenomenal resource for families. And if not, download it for next year. It'd be great.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Bill, tell us what else is coming up. Sorry.
Travis... I don't know, do you have emphysema today? Is that's going on? All of a sudden you started coughing. Hey, we are so excited to announce our first ever Known Legacy Men's Retreat coming up January 24th through the 26th. We'd love to have you there.
Woo-woo.
We'll put the link in the bio. And as well, right now there's an early bird special until December 31st that if you get in now, you get in for a little bit cheaper. So. Yep. A penny saved is a penny burned somewhere else, I think, is
and
really what the deal
it
is.
It is limited spaces. Our first one, we are expecting to sell out. It is limited spaces.
Yep.
And so you definitely want to get in early. And obviously, with the season and the economy and everything, if finances are difficult, there is an opportunity for scholarships. We have some generous folks that follow us and are part of our mission and ministry. And so there are some scholarships available, too. So we want you there.
Yes, we do.
To hang out with you, to hear your stories, and to see what God's doing in your life. To wake up, come alive, and... Gear up.
Wake up, gear up, and come alive.
There you go. I knew I was out
That's
of
That's okay. We're good. We're working on this, our podcast. Part of what we do the Known Legacy podcast for is to help awaken the hearts of men, gear up, and come alive to who God's created them to be. We're so glad to have you here. Thank you guys so much for being a part of our time together today.
Yes.
We love it. We love it. And so,
all right, gentlemen. Yeah. I got my opening funny story predicament.
Okay.
So my son, my youngest son, just turned 16. And so you know, in our culture today, having a car when you're 16 is a big deal. So, gracious friend
Unless
of
you're
mine,
my daughter, and right. then you just want your dad to drive you everywhere.
A gracious friend of ours had his father had recently passed away, and we had a car, like dirt cheap car, but it's a 2011 red Honda Fit.
Okay.
What is a Honda Fit?
A Honda Fit is, you remember the old hatchbacks like the Omni? Chrysler Omni hatchbacks and like the Pinto.
I remember the Pacer and the Gremlin.
Okay. You are right in that zone, man. It is a fuel economy, three-cylinder Honda Fit.
Three. So does it have a pull start or no?
I'm telling you. It has lawn attachments. You can also snowblow if you want to.
It has a chain with pedals.
Exactly.
So needless to say, my 16-year-old son is in that situation.
Dad, why does this say Fred Flintstone version on it?
he's received this gift.
Yeah.
But there's nothing about this gift that he wants. He's just like, I'm like, dude, you got to lean into it. So he asked for a set of Longhorn for he can, you know, tape to the front of this Honda Fit, and he's just going to make it this obnoxious vehicle. So anyways, the reason why I share that story is Christmas is upon us.
Yes.
So looking back at your storied life, some of ours longer than others, Kyle,
tell us about World War II.
What is a toy that you got or you didn't got that you still today you remember?
I know one thing you didn't got was good grammar, and so that's okay. We're good, though. That's great. That's awesome.
In other news, they're looking for a new co-host here.
We got to get a new co-host.
I hate you, Bill.
Kyle, do you want to go first on this one, or do you want me to go first?
You go first. I got to think of something.
Okay, so I think my favorite gift, there were some good gifts, but my favorite gift, I think, was when I got that Nintendo. I think me and my brother got it together, which then was like a fight gift.
Yes.
Where you're like, okay, because I don't know what parents think. Yay, they're going to work it out. And we're like, no, we're not. We're going to wrestle and fight. Someone's going to get a bloody nose in the first day. But I do remember that, and I do remember cheating at Duck Hunt.
Oh.
Well, you remember the game Duck Hunt?
Yes,
So it came with a gun that was there, and you plugged it in and everything. And so at first you're irritated because the ducks are coming, you're trying to shoot. And then you realize if you get really close to the screen, game on. So I'm like, I'm here and the gun's here and I'm like, oh, boom, poof. Oh, and the dog's like, 100%, 100%. Like, I know, I'm really good. But
and
I do remember that.
Your mom's yelling from the other room. Yeah. That's so close to the TV. Not,
you're gonna ruin your eyes.
You're going to go blind.
You're going to ruin your eyes.
Well, for me, it's actually a gift that I did not get. And to kind of set the stage, this is the time of the Coca-Cola shirts, if you remember those.
Coca-Cola,
and Banana Republic.
Yep.
Which is not just a small country in the middle of the Atlantic. Is it a small country? I don't know. I always hear, you know, oh, that's so Banana Republic. I don't even know what that means. But anyways.
I think Banana Republic is the idea of, like, crazy bad societies that are, like, insane. Like, that create laws that are only valuable for those who run it.
I'm not sure, but I think it's, like, a government that's been set up by another government.
So
that's it.
Even more than in the 1980s, we have an entire clothing store named after that type of government. So that's fantastic.
That's fantastic.
Banana Republic. So anyways, all I wanted, because it was, like, my eighth grade year and everyone else had one, was a Swatch watch. That's all I wanted. And my mom and dad refused to spend like $35 at the time for a piece of plastic, even though it had crystal for the watch face and you could get the really cool anti-colors.
You could change out the...
Right, all of it. And man, never got one. I think at one point I went to Vons or Kmart and bought the off-brand and was embarrassed. And yeah, but man, that I wanted a Swatch watch so
like a
bad.
Scotch watch or something like that. SKATH
swap watch.
Swap watch. I think they're actually back in. Someone like recreated them now, so you can live that childhood.
Swatch is huge. There's stores everywhere.
But I mean that version where they swap out the because I remember when a long time ago someone's like, oh, I have a Swatch, and they meant like a swatch of paint, and I was like, who cares about that watch? It's from like the 90s. Like, what's going on here?
88, thank you very much. Anyways.
88.
Kyle, how about you?
What about you, Kyle?
So I wanted a Les Paul so bad. Ooh. I had a Fender acoustic guitar. I think I was in 6th or 7th grade. And my parents
decided. Was it a first generation Les Paul?
Oh, no. I wanted a Les Paul really bad. I ended up with a Sears and Roebuck guitar and amp for $150.
So did they call that a less than Paul?
Yes, a less than Paul. But it was my first ever electric guitar, and I was thrilled to have it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I know we're ripping on our parents, but, man, they really did all they could. You know what I'm saying? It's not so much ripping on them.
$150 back in the day.
That's a lot of money.
That was a lot of jack,
man. That's a lot of money.
That was fantastic.
And the 10-watt amp that came with it.
Yeah, that's true.
Which, by the way, when I eventually had a band, we would go into – I hope nobody's listening from Grapevine Methodist Church. But we would go into the sanctuary and take the pulpit mic and lay it in front of the 10-watt amp.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Me and the other guitar player would play through that, and the rafters would be shaking.
That's fantastic.
But the irony is probably your guitar is still better than some of the quality that gets put out by actual companies now because of how good it was back then. Like, I remember when people would get in, like, car accidents with older cars, and instead of even, like, talking to the insurance, they just high-five each other and drive on and then take a ball-peen hammer and break out the metal. It's like, we're good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, good days.
Well, anyways, hopefully you guys are enjoying this Advent/Christmas season, and you guys are enjoying some family time and stuff like that. The reason why we had to take a little break unexpectedly was, Bill, you kind of went through a difficult, unexpected, quick season, and yeah, I would love it if you'd feel comfortable kind of sharing with us, updating us, and kind of talking through that journey a little bit.
Yeah, I'd love to, actually. And I'll probably get emotional, and sorry, buddy, here, but deal with it. And so, you know, part of why we were gone for so long was my mother actually passed away 2 days before Thanksgiving. And before that, we had walked through this journey. And I think a lot of what we wanted to talk about today was just grieving during the holidays, learning how to grieve, walking through that, just kind of loss. I know there's a lot of people that deal with loss, and I feel like a lot of times we just try to tuck it in and act like nothing happened, or even those around them are kind of like, what? I mean, my family's been amazing. They've been gracious, because all of a sudden I'm like watching a show, and we were watching, me and my daughter were watching Young Sheldon a couple of days ago, just kind of, and we're like, oh, we just wanted something funny. Like, funny. Well, we got to the part where spoiler alert, but the dad passes away. And so all of a sudden, me and Lily are on the couch, and I'm like, what's going on? Like, I'm not even like, why? And so I think wanted to talk about grieving and kind of the process. And so, yeah, we've taken a pause, and these guys have been gracious, and you guys have been gracious, as we haven't had many podcasts come out. But, man, when everything started, we thought my mother was actually coming down with like, dementia. And, yeah. And instead, we found out that she had a 4-centimeter mass of a tumor in her brain.
Oh, wow.
And so once that started, it moved very quick, and within 2.5 weeks, she passed away. And and I will tell you this, it was terrible and sad, but also extremely beautiful, because we were able to say goodbye. And so I hope that everyone gets a chance to say goodbye the way we did. Man, there was just so many moments, God moments, in the midst of all this, that as we started just kind of walking through this, everyone kind of got to, at least for the most part, there were still some that didn't get a chance to say goodbye, but to say the things you need to say. Now, again, I love my mother, and the dynamic was never this super tight, but we were tight, but you know what I'm saying? Like, but I mean, I have some people that are like, that's my mama, you know, and they have those endearing things. And we had a good relationship. We didn't have a bad relationship. It wasn't toxic, but it wasn't like, that's my mama. Well, then by the very end, I really did realize that, like, as I was holding her hand before she went to heaven, I was like, that's my mama. And so God restored a lot in those moments.
Yes.
That even now, I don't remember most of what the frustration was.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, because I was able to go away and process and go back and see her again.
Right.
And say more to her.
Right.
And it wasn't like, I'm angry. It was like, I love you. And I would hear, I love you back. And she got to do that to the grandkids as well. And so it was really a beautiful moment. But it did make me realize the value of connecting with family, of taking those times. Like, I do think that the reason why holidays exist are sometimes to deal with our families that we may not love.
Yes.
But taking the time to get together. Like, I had someone very wise tell me, they said, Bill, they didn't have a chance to really connect with their parent before they passed away. And they're like, you need to take this time to do that. And that sunk deep, and so I was able to really be there. That by the end, I knew that I was part of her peace.
Yes,
you know, inside the hospital and things like that. And so it was definitely an interesting journey.
Well, and I remember as you were talking about it, a few beautiful little moments, and one of them was how she reacted when your kids, her grandkids, were in the room. And it just, for me, it resonates with your heart for Known Legacy and what we're about.
Yeah.
Is in the midst of building our families, in the midst of building our careers, in the midst of making all those sacrifices, we forget that at some point we're going to have some people around our bed.
Yeah.
And let's make sure we're investing in those people.
Yeah.
Sooner than later, because otherwise, because they're there. So share with us a little bit about that reaction.
Yeah, so that was wild.
What was that like for your kids? You know, because they kind of lived that relationship with your mom through bit. What was that like?
They loved, so they called my mom Nanny because they loved her.
Right.
And so she was always there for them, you know, timing. She would always take the time with them. And, you know, even when they were younger, she spent a lot of time with them. So whenever we needed like a babysitter, like, hey, could you want to watch them? And she always loved it, soaked it up. Or, hey, can I come pick them up, you know, after school or whatever? Sure, no problem. And they would do sleepovers when they were little kids and stuff.
That's
like
awesome.
That. But it was interesting because, you know, the whole time that she was in there, and I kind of say this jesting, but like, she wasn't like jumping up to see me. But man, those grandkids come in and she's like, oh, hi. And she, I'm like, how did you move your arms again?
She gets superwoman strength.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm like, and all of a sudden she's hugging them and pulling them tight. And I'm like, wait a minute, I've been here for 28 hours. And I actually, but it was, I loved it. I loved seeing her respond to that. But you're right. It's spending time with those who are going to cry the most at your funeral. And I think that's one of the biggest things I got was, man, if you can reconcile, reconcile. You know, try to remove all the excuses. My wife said something amazing. She said, you know, and she said this kind of generally, but like, for those of us who are walking through things like this, like, take out the family dynamic for a minute.
Right.
And stop with the knife slicing on each other and just go, man, what's the best thing I can do to honor God in this situation? And and walk with that and just say, you know, what can I do? Honoring our parents is really, it's interesting. Because I think some people have their own view, like that means you just shut up and listen, even at a, right. even as a 50-year-old man, you're supposed to just do what they. I believe it's different. The idea of honoring is, man, knowing that you guys have moved the things you can move away, like the barriers to love each other. Everyone's going to have their quirks, like I said, but making the phone calls, sending the text to mom or dad today. Responding to the ones that they do. Cause it's funny. You see all the time. It's like when I text my teenagers and it's like, and all of a sudden it's like a thumbs up, you know, like the Sean Connery thumbs up. And I'm like, man, I think I realized through a lot of this, a lot about my mom. Like she was never the center of the universe, but she wanted to be a part of everybody's world. And so she didn't desire to be like in the middle of everything. She just wanted to be there.
Gotcha.
And so we already do kind of miss some of those moments that she was there, you know? But I also think, man, there's some things that we can walk through and honor, say, God, how can I honor you through this while protecting those around me and things like that? But she loved well. I mean, she was like this. I realized she used to crochet all the time.
Yeah.
Even when I was a kid.
Yeah.
She'd make these blankets. And it was so interesting because, like, as she would make them, like, I thought she was just making blankets and trying to sell them or whatever. But then I found out, no, she's giving them to missionaries who are giving them to women who have been either, like, hurt, abused, you know, or like and have like needs beyond just those kind of moments. And I'm like, and so one of her friends is like, listen, your mom's blankets are literally all over Africa and the Dominican Republic. I'm like, huh. And so she's like this crocheting ninja.
Yes.
That then also would pray for people all the time. And again, I don't mean if your relationship isn't good with parents to go running in their arms, but to keep that line open for your side as much as you can.
Right.
Protect your family, but then keep that line open. I think that was a big thing that happened through this.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I think at the end, I feel like I honored my mother, and I believe she did that too. You know, I think she agreed with that, you know, even at the very end to say goodbye. But I really do hope that people get a chance to say goodbye like this, to talk and share.
So, we live in a culture where church is, optional. And, you know, it's very consumeristic. And if the music isn't what I like, I just move on. And, and it you know, if the pastor says something I don't like, I can just move on. And your mom was a part of a church for a decade.
Yeah. Here. Yeah.
Yeah.
About like eight years
or something like that. And it's not a huge church. It's not a mega church in any sense of the word. How did you see the church respond well?
Yeah.
And why is it important that we, when we are younger, to invest in a community of believers, whether a large church or a small church, that can journey with you and others that you love during these difficult seasons?
Yeah, I really do. I definitely feel like, man, people need to get inside community. And it's not just a selfish thing, but to get in there, be a part of it. This whole idea that you can do this on your own is not a reality, that you can't. I don't know how we do it without the community that we had around us, the people who text and call, like, hey, let me help you. And then afterwards, like, let me help you clean out the, you know, her apartment. Let me move these boxes. And then, hey, I'm praying for you. And then all of a sudden someone shows up with a meal. I mean, if you're anywhere along the conservative line, you're going to get at least one casserole, you know, on your doorstep at some point.
Yes.
And so that was something that I think is important, because it just showed you really weren't alone. The other thing about that is, you know, when someone says, like, oh, I, you know, like people even here on the podcast, or we talk, like, man, I really felt those prayers. And you're like, I get it, kind of. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, yeah, those prayers mean, but I really did. Like, I don't even know how to describe what that meant. So, like, for the person who's like, all I'm doing is praying and sending them a text, it means so much. Because even, you know, even at my mom's celebration of life, like, I thought I was going to lose it. And I had some people literally praying just that I wouldn't. And there was this moment where I was a mess, as Joe, who was talking, shared and said, like, so this, he said, and all of a sudden, like, in like a moment, it just all stopped. And I was like, okay. And I was able to go up there and talk and share. And that was, it's like, I don't know how to explain it, but that was the Lord. And then even during the peace, like at the very end, as people were praying for us, that the last 3 days, I would just look at her and say, Mom, it's okay, you can go. And having that.
Because you know there's hope in the resurrection.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm almost like, what are you waiting for? And not like, I don't want you here, but like, we're not going to move back from this.
Right.
And so, but there was something I can tell you, like those prayers did something. It wasn't just me girding it up and going, okay, I'm going to act like things are good. It's like, no, I had nothing in me to feel like it. So I hope that if you're listening to this and you're like, and you're praying for you and you wonder if your prayers matter, they do. Because even now, my mom, one of the testimonies from my mom was that she was such a prayer warrior.
Yeah, she
was. These people that when she'd pray for people all the time. And I didn't know any of this. And so I had this preconceived idea of who my mother was, which was, if I'll be frank, much weaker than she really was.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, part of it's shame on me, but that's why I get to share on here and say, I know we've all walked through that. Those moments where you're like, okay, that you have this preconceived idea of what this person is, and you seem to not be able to shake it out of your head. And then right. You start to hear these stories. And I get it. Like, there's those funeral things where, like, this guy was, like, a complete wretched jerk, and you're like, he was a great man. And you're like, no, he wasn't. He was an idiot, and nobody liked him, you know?
Right.
But these weren't those moments. These were on the side as people were talking to me and sharing, hey, your mom did this for me. Your mom pulled me into community. Your mom called me up and said, let's go take you around and show you all around Allen. And I'm like, where, what?
Yeah.
I didn't know any of this.
Well, what's so funny with your mom, like, the first few times I met your mom, she knew me, but I didn't know her.
Yeah, she listened to the podcast religiously.
And she would come up to me and give me a hug, and I was thinking, who is this old woman randomly hugging me in a coffee shop?
Yeah.
And then after a few seconds, I'm like, oh, that's Bill's mom. Okay. And so she was always, Joy. And I know her small group. Man, I loved her small group. The stories of them coming in to her bedside and singing hymns and songs and spiritual songs together.
Yeah.
And praying with her and for her and supporting you guys. I think it's wonderful. So let me ask one more question.
Yeah.
So someone's listening and they have a sadness, a sorrow, a loss from their past.
Yeah.
That the Christmas season or the Thanksgiving, this whole holiday season is really difficult for them to journey through. Now that you're journeying through the holidays with sorrow, what would you encourage them? How would you care for them? What would you share with them?
I would definitely say, first thing, just be honest, because that's kind of where I'm at, is just being honest with the situation of, like, you're not weak when you start to, like, feel like you're a hot mess for a minute. I mean, it comes and goes really quick. But I pray that you're involved in community, and I pray that you reach out to somebody. I mean, you know, I'm not feeling destroyed because I've got the community around me. I think if I was alone, it'd be pretty lonely, but I've got an amazing family who's surrounded me, but then so many friends who have reached out. And I think that has been the biggest thing that we kind of take each other's burden on. You know what I'm saying? That we, because I don't think we're supposed to do this alone. It's kind of like Moses and Aaron, you know, when he held up his hands, it's like, I can't do this. And you need somebody. And I think, so make sure you're not alone. Find somebody, because that has been the world, the difference. Because I am super social usually, but these last couple weeks I've been more like, I'm not antisocial, but I've just not been like, yay, let's go. You know, and so I'm just coming back
there's
out.
There's a time to mourn and there's a time to dance.
Yeah, it really did feel that way. And
yeah.
And I think, you know, one thing that came up, I heard this last week, was when Jeremiah was, when he had written Great is Thy Faithfulness, like, you know, inside the book of Jeremiah, which was a pretty, like, that is not a form of scripture you want. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, his ministry did nothing, I mean, on earth. So
he was
so
faithful,
he
and
was
yet
faithful.
It didn't produce what was intended.
Yeah, every time he preached, nobody cared.
Right.
And then captivity, and then he'd preach again and more captivity. And somewhere in the literal rubble, like, if we could picture all these walls and these bricks around us just completely down to nothing and ash heaps everywhere, and all of a sudden he starts singing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I think there's something about those moments where, at its worst desire, most of those songs, even It Is Well With My Soul, was written after this guy got, you know, got a telegram indicating that
his
wife and daughters
kids,
or daughters died. Basically, some of his family members had passed away. And so he sat down and wrote it as well. And I think now is the time to, if you're grieving, now is the time to spend time with the Lord and truly say, do I really believe that you're faithful? Like, do I really, like, worship now? Because I don't, there's a lot of times that it doesn't matter with the $9 coffee in our hand, and we walk into church and we sit down and we hear the songs and the smoke comes up and then the great is thy faith. Like, that's not really it. I think now's the time to stop and sit on the ash heap and be like, no, you really are real. And so I think the biggest challenge that I've been doing is trying to worship in this to go, no, you're faithful. You're faithful now when it doesn't, when I can't see it. And that's when it really matters. And I, that's the biggest challenge I have, is find a moment today, maybe after this, click this off, and just thank God for something.
Yeah.
And thank God for his faithfulness, because that's going to bring you through. And then get in community if you're not in community. And I don't say that to be an active member and start serving in the kids' ministry. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about be known somewhere, because you cannot, and we're not, as a child of God, we're not supposed to do this alone.
Right.
There are literally people I've had across the table, like that one lady from North Korea when I had dinner with, that she literally had nobody. So her church was 2 o'clock in the morning on her knees praying to God, because she had nobody. She had to flee the country and couldn't even tell her husband that she had fled the country. We're not there.
Right.
So whatever our resolve of church hurt me, find some kind of community to get involved in, Christ-centered community that you can reach out to and say, I'm hurting and I need some help. And then just getting involved, like being a part of that community, and then breathing life into it. Like, and again, that's not serving, like, speak life to people, like share your heart, share your life, connect with someone, take them out to coffee, see how they're doing, hear their story. It will benefit you. So worship in the brokenness,
right,
and get involved in community.
And I've heard that sometimes when we're in great times of sorrow, the greatest thing we can do is serve others.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those gifts that God gives us, that he brings healing as we serve others. Yeah. Even though we want to be served and we're hurting and we feel like we have nothing to give, to engage in that. And I would say one of the things that I've observed in you, which I think you has helped you in this mourning process, is you've been brutally honest with the good, the bad, and the ugly of your mom.
Hmm.
And I think sometimes when we find ourselves stuck in mourning or stuck in sorrow, it's because we haven't gotten to the place where we can be honest with, I may have known this person and this person may have hurt me, but this person didn't hurt everyone.
Yeah.
And there's other people who have been blessed by this person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're complicated people. And I would wager to bet in my life that is true as well. I have hurt people unintentionally or intentionally.
Yeah.
And there's other people that would think, man, Travis was a great guy. And when you're privy to that, to be able to reconcile that and say, God, we're complicated people, and help me love the brokenness in this person as much as the good in that person, the way that you love the brokenness in me and the good in me.
Yeah.
And so I've seen that with you and your mom, and I think that's helped you in the journey.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to encourage others as you guys go through that. If you find it difficult, man, we are praise God for the grace that he gives us, because it is complete and it is 100% for the brokenness, the ugliness, and the things that we will continue to get wrong even to the last breath that we breathe.
Yeah. You know, even in the nation of Israel, they had that year of Jubilee. Where everything kind of refreshed was 75 years. I can't remember.
50 years.
I'm so sorry. It's been, it's 50 years. And this idea where everything was restored. And I think there's a constant theme in the heart of God of restoration. And so if you can, by all means, restore with those around you that you love.
Yes.
Because there will be a day you'll be standing over their grave or over their deathbed. And you need, I pray that you will not have angst against those people.
Or they'll be standing over you.
Correct.
And you don't want to give them that angst.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think you know, to kind of finish this up, I remember when I would go up there and read, I would read over my mom and read Psalm 139 over her.
Oh.
And the idea of, I think it's like 18 and 19. Sorry, I don't have everything memorized right now, but it said that our days are numbered.
Mm.
And so in that, I remember very clearly, it was like, okay, like, you know, I believe in a sovereign God that knows exactly the minute that we're going to stop breathing. And so in that, it's like, there's going to be a moment. So we're all going to die. How are we going to choose to go out?
Yes.
With those around us, with those that we love, and without, like you said, without animosity.
Yeah.
Like, there is a difference in trying to reconcile with somebody in a peaceful way. Soft answer turns away wrath.
Yep.
That they may not want it or see it. And you got to go, I got to choose, but I'm not going to be vindictive.
Right.
On their spirit. So I think that's the thing we need to look at, especially as you're going to maybe go to open Christmas gifts to someone that you absolutely despise.
Right.
pray over that person when you're standing in front of them. I mean, not like don't like grab them. Hey, I want to pray over you.
Awkward Christmas awkward moment. Christmas brought to you
before
by
we wrap. Before we unwrap gifts, let me just pray over this guy that I've been fighting with for 30 years.
It says, "Pray for the enemy. You're my enemy.
Yeah, you're my enemy. Pray exactly.
Over you." Yeah, and that's passive aggressive and exactly, no good.
Not a chance. But I would say when you're in the room, pray for them. And I will say, because of the power of prayer, I really believe God can redeem that. It may not be that day.
Yes.
But do your part, because if they stop breathing tomorrow, put yourself there and think, what would I have really wanted to say? Mm. And the same thing with you. If you had stopped breathing, is there someone you need to call, text, and just reach out to and say, this is what I think of you, and not this is what I think of you, but like, this is what I think of you, and go and love the way that Christ loved. Because yeah. Even at the very end, with those who hated him and put him on that cross, he still loved them. And so I'm gonna throw the Jesus thing out there, that like the thief managed to, he ran a terrible life his whole life. And Jesus offered salvation at the last minute, and the guy got saved.
Yep.
And so we need to keep doing that. That's why I believe that's why that's there, because it's never too late till that person stops breathing.
Well, and Paul says it so beautifully in his letters. He goes, as much as it's up to you, live at peace with those around you. And that's exactly what you're talking about. So Anyways, Merry Christmas, you guys. Great news. Jesus is a God who comes to us.
Amen.
And he is a God who brings healing to us. He is a God who not only forgives us, but forgives those around us. And he has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And so in that, we take comfort.
Yes.
And we can have development conversations and difficult conversations. And as much as it's up to us, we can live at peace with the people around us. Amen.
Amen. And guys, just so you know, we're going to keep the link up for the Advent for this last week. So if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, you know what? I still have time.
Do it. Do it.
Two or three days. I know it's been busy, but take the time with your family and just do that quick Advent. It just gets you together, spiritually leads your family, and gives you a moment. So we'll have that link in there. We'll have the retreat link in there. We look forward to seeing you guys there. And I hope you guys have a wonderful and a merry Christmas.
And it's not too late to order the book and put it as a stocking stuffer.
Yes, I think they can still come in time. So you can get morethanyoubook.com. Go check that out.
God bless you guys. Have a wonderful Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks for listening to the Known Legacy Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. So email us your questions or comments to info@knownlegacy.org.